I just kept drinking. I sat at my desk with my hands covering my face, stuck in the mental torture I forced upon myself. "There is someone here returning the car you loaned to Sapphire. I just thought you might want to know." My head snapped up and my hands dropped.
"Right now?"
"Yes." I jumped out of my seat and sprinted 3 flights of stairs until I sped through the entryway into the outside. The red Ferrari was there, shiny and sleek like it had been washed. 2 men were walking back to a blacked-out car to prepare to leave.
"Wait!"
I caught up with them before they could get into the car. "Where is she? Who are you?" I got in the man's face, ready to kill him if he had laid a hand on Muse.
"Who?"
he asked.
"I'm just dropping off the car."
"Who told you to drop off the car?" He shrugged.
"That's a confidential. I'm just paid to do what I'm told."
My heart was slamming against my ribs. I wouldn't be surprised if some of them broke from the force my heart was exerting.
"Who do you work for? Who the fuck paid you?"
He raised both hands and stepped back.
"Man, I'm just a courier service, so when people move or whatever, they ask us to return their shit. The keys were at the office when I got to work, and I was told to drop the car off at this address. That's all I know."
I finally let him go, feeling the relief in my chest. If it was Knuckles or someone else, they wouldn't return my car, they would keep it. Muse obviously wanted me to have it back when she no longer needed it. And if it were Knuckles, he would leave a note. He would want me to know he had her. The men drove away. I stood in the roundabout with my hands on my hips, still terrified by the turn of events. I'd let my anger get to me, and now I found myself in a worse situation than I was in before. I could pretend I didn't give a damn about her, but that wasn't true. I did care about her. And I had to know she was okay. I had to.
Chapter 2. Sapphire. New York was exactly the same as it was before. Overcrowded, polluted, and loud. I couldn't see anything in the distance because there was always a building in the way. Direct sunlight was impossible to feel because the skyscrapers cast shadows everywhere. But it was home. Andrew lived in a large penthouse with his wife and 2 sons. At 10,000 square feet, it was a mansion at the top of the building. It wasn't a 3-story Italian villa, but it was still a dream house. Decorated fabulously by a professional, it definitely felt like a home for his family. It must have cost him over $50 million to own a piece of real estate like that. He was nice enough to let me stay there since I had nowhere else to go. He offered to give me money, but I refused to take anything unless it was a paycheck, wages for work I had done. So in the meantime, I was staying with him. I had a private bedroom with my own bathroom, and his 2 sons were hardly ever home because they were both in private school. When they weren't studying, they were participating in their other academic activities. His wife was involved in their education, so she joined her 2 sons everywhere. I was home alone most of the time. My floor-to-ceiling windows gave a wonderful view of the city, but whenever I looked outside, I was always disappointed there were no golden fields to stare at. There were no vineyards or ancient castles. There was no breeze. The windows were sealed in place, so I couldn't even crack them open. The 2 places couldn't be more different. When I arrived in America, my phone stopped working, so I tossed it in the garbage. Andrew got me a new one, so I carried that with me everywhere I went. I wondered if Conway would ever call me and realize I didn't have that phone anymore. I'd like to believe he would, but maybe he wouldn't. I had his car returned to him when I left. I didn't want to leave it on the side of the road for someone to steal. I wanted to make sure when I left, I didn't take anything of his with me. The clothes in my bag were all paid for by him, but leaving those behind wouldn't make